Michelle Irwin, I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 29th of September 2009 and the time is now 9:29 p.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you're from, please?
Yes, Jess Hankins, I'm 21 and I'm from Northampton.
How are you feeling?
Alright, a little bit nervous.
Who have you brought along with you?
One of my friends. She lives in London.
Did you come in from Northampton this evening?
No, I'm actually gone back to university in Newcastle, so I've come all the way from Newcastle this afternoon.
And you're going back tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow morning.
Can you remember how you first heard about this project?
I can't remember, I'm afraid. I can't remember where I read it. It was in June, I think. It was before it started. I can't remember if I read it in the paper or saw it on a website. I think it was one of the two.
Why did you think it was something that you might want to be involved in?
Generally, I like to think of myself as the sort of person who'll try anything once, and I thought, oh, that looks exciting, I'll just put my email address in the hat. I just thought it was a really inventive idea, and I thought, oh yeah, I'll go for that. Didn't really think I'd get picked necessarily. I was pleasantly surprised when I did.
When did you find out?
At the beginning of August, so nearly 2 months ago.
Have you had lots of different ideas about how you might spend your time or not?
Yes, well, I've been asking a lot of people and I've been trying to think myself. I wouldn't call myself a very creative person, so I didn't really have any creative ideas, but I think I'm doing something now that reflects my personality, so...
Tell me a bit more about that and how it reflects your
personality. I study French and politics. I've always loved learning languages, and I've always been quite opinionated. So basically I'm going to go up there just for about 5 or so minutes, just talk about, just take my little soapbox moment really and talk about why I think the government should be encouraging language learning in schools and not cutting back on it. And then I'm just going to play some foreign music, because I didn't want to just stand there in silence. At least if I just stand there, I'd like to play some music, so.
Why do you feel so strongly about language learning in the schools?
I just think it's a discipline that should be recognised as equally as important as maths or science or anything like that. And I think what really triggered it is that the government a couple of years ago made it optional for pupils to study languages at GCSE level, and I just think that's appalling really. That gives them 3 years at school and then it's not enough time to get involved in a language. And also I think as a nation, English people are very reluctant to learn other languages, but it's just something that would be so useful to anyone, whether they went on to university or not, to show the skill that they had, you know, another language under their belt, or knowledge of another language, or the willingness to learn another one, in jobs, it's, international business and everything like that. It's just invaluable, and really we need to, as a country, we need to get ourselves up there with the other countries who can speak several languages.
Are you saying that students should start learning languages at entry level, when they start secondary school? You mentioned GCSE.
Yeah, well, what is the standard at the moment is for students to start learning their first foreign language when they go into secondary school, in year seven. But then, now as it's optional, they don't have to, they can drop it after year nine, so that's only 3 years. The government is, I think, next year trying out, I don't think it's in every single primary school, but in certain schools, they're trying to make it legislation that pupils will start learning a first foreign language in primary school, which I'm totally for. I think that's a fantastic idea, because I think young children are even more susceptible to learning languages. But I don't know. I think they're hoping that that will make more people want to take it further to GCSE, but I don't think they should leave it. This will take years to show whether the kids in primary school are going to be choosing it for GCSE or not. And it's just, I think they've just cut back. I don't really know why they've done it, their mentality behind it. I think it was because they thought many people weren't taking it. But I don't know, I just don't think they're encouraging people to learn languages at all.
What was your school like?
I went to a private school, so it was compulsory where I went, and I got offered a range of languages, so I was able to study French, German and Russian when I was at school, and I was really lucky, that was quite an exception, so I've been very fortunate. But I mean, it doesn't have to be French. You know, you ask people, adults these days, and they say, well, my memory was, you know, going to day trip to Calais and bringing back firecrackers in my socks and stuff like that. But it doesn't, you know, with some schools are doing like Spanish, which is more widely spoken, or Chinese, even Mandarin Chinese. So anything, I'll advocate anything.
Are you talking about state schools or private schools?
State schools. I mean, private schools are continuing, I think, to keep it compulsory. But no, in state schools it isn't.
How do you think the UK compares to Europe, for example, in terms of language speaking?
Well, it's not surprising that we don't learn, we don't start early. But I mean, I worked last year as a teaching assistant in France, and you know, they're all quite good at English. Some of them aren't. Some of them can't be bothered. It's just the same as our year 10 pupils learning French. But I met a lot of peers who were also teaching from countries like Spain and Italy, and they were in France learning French, but they were also already fluent in English, so they had like one more language under their belt. When I meet other European young people who are the same age as me, they're always one language ahead, and I think I'm doing an out of the ordinary thing to try and be learning one language.
Where were you teaching in France?
Grenoble in the Alps.
What was that like?
It was fantastic. Yeah, it was a really good experience. I think it just showed as well, it was a great opportunity to go and do something and realise how easy it can be. Even for people who don't study languages, they should be encouraged. So I'm also talking a little bit about universities and why people should be... Because recently the government are making loads of cutbacks in universities, language learning as well, and just not providing our money's worth when it comes to paying tuition fees. Because they're luckily my university's not been affected so far, but some big name universities are, like Oxford and King's College London, I think. I think they've just asked the modern languages departments to cut back, so a lot of lecturers have been either removed from their post, or if they've retired or left, then they've not been replaced. And it's more, I think it's affecting more like research as well, because obviously there's no research post, so they can't, a lecturer isn't being employed at the university to go and do a research, something to do with foreign languages, so that just, you know, it's just limiting our research, I suppose, into foreign languages.
What are you studying in terms of politics? Is it international politics?
It's just everything. I mean, I do half and half French and politics, so I don't do a lot of politics, but for example, I've studied politics of the Middle East. It's a very broad subject, but normally you focus on a country or a period of history that you're most interested in. British politics. Also, I've studied a lot of political philosophy, different philosophies through the years and stuff like that. So it's pretty challenging. But this year I'm going to be studying, in particular, which I'm looking forward to, the politics and development of Africa, which is all about poverty and how we can help bring Africa, hopefully, into the, you know, to compete with. That, first world countries, I suppose you call them, developed countries.
What are you hoping to do after you finish studying?
I don't really know. I'd very happily go back abroad again and teach English. I think it's a really good way of going abroad and learning a language, even to another country, maybe pick my German back up or something. I don't know, I'd quite like possibly a political based career in the future. Don't know, I really, I'm just taking each year as it comes, really.
Do you think you'd like to live in France?
I would for a certain period of time, but I don't think I could ever move there indefinitely. I don't know why, I suppose England, I'm very proud to be very British as well, for all that, I love other countries, but other languages, but I mean, who knows, I might marry a French man, but...
Did you get any training as a teaching
Not really. We got a 3-day course up in some mountain somewhere, which was more, I think, to make friends than to feel settled, than actually to teach us something.
Did you feel you were plunged in at the deep end?
Yes, yeah, sort of. But I think the schools are happy to have you there because you're an English speaker, you're a real, like, real life English person for their pupils to see. You're employed by the government of the country that you're in, so the French government. I got paid pretty well for it. I only worked no more than 12 hours a week, so it was really part-time. But it was, yeah, they're very welcoming, kind, and just say, well, you know, if you want time off to go skiing and stuff like that, then you can have it. But, you know, in a way that they didn't put too much pressure on you for the job. It was just like, yes, you're going to be stood in front of a class of 15-year-olds who don't speak your language and, you know... But it wasn't, I think, I mean, I never was sure how much I helped them, but the teachers were really grateful for me being there, so I suppose I made a difference, hopefully.
You mentioned you were going to be playing some music while you're on the plinth.
Yeah. I've just composed a CD. It's mostly got Spanish, French, English and German songs on it, I think. Just because, obviously, I'm not going to talk for the whole time, so... I thought, well, I love music, so I'll just find some foreign language music to play.
Is it popular music?
To keep in the
what
theme.
Kind of music?
Some of it's old, Edith Piaf, the old French singer, is one of her songs on there. There's a lot of Manu Chao, who's like one of my favourite artists, a Spanish guy. There's a lot of his songs on there. There's some French hip hop, because... it's quite a famous song, actually. It was in Sex and the City, so I think a lot of people know the song, but it's he's quite popular in France at the moment. Some German electro, because they love that sort of stuff over there. And so I've got one Polish jazz song as well, because I met a Polish person earlier on in the year, and they said that was an important part of Polish culture. I didn't really do much research into it. I just found this song. Apparently, jazz is a big thing in Poland. That's so he told me. So.
Did you choose 3 words to go in your profile?
I did, yes. They were, I think, caring, enthusiastic and open. I'm definitely enthusiastic, although slightly nervous before this, but hopefully it'll be all right, yeah. I suppose I just like to think I was the other two as well. Open, just talk a lot.
What's important?
What's important to me in life in general?
At the moment, so what's important in your life at the moment?
Okay. Important to me in my life at the moment will always be my family and my friends, although they're dotted all over the world now. My studies, because I'm going back to my final year and I've really got to knuckle down and get this degree under my belt. My boyfriend as well, because I've just moved away 200 miles away from him, so you know that's a bit trying at the moment, but it should be okay. So yeah, I think that's the long and short of it. I don't think I've got much time to think about anything else at the moment.
How did your friends and family react when you told them that you were taking part in this project?
They were very excited. My gran in particular thinks it's fantastic. I don't know if she thinks I'm going to be famous or something, but she's been telling all her friends. But that's nice that they're supportive of me. My mum's been telling everyone to watch me online this evening, so I think there'll be quite a few. Yeah, and I've had friends say they're going to watch, so that's nice to know.
Are you looking forward to it now?
I think it'll be a really good experience. I think I don't mind at all going up there and being in front of people. I suppose I'm just a bit worried that I'll drop my sign off the side or I'll gabble my words or something like that. Don't know. Things you can't pre-plan, I guess.
Is there anything else that you'd like to say?
I don't think so.
Thank you very much, Cindy.